Radiotopia from PRX.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
February 14th, 1998.
Sixth grade.
Dear diary.
Dear Jesus.
Dear sweet asswad.
Adults sharing the embarrassing things
they created as kids.
So I wrote poems about masturbation.
Before an audience
of total strangers.
I feel like an idiot.
I'm the only normal one in my entire family.
Mom, you can't read this.
These are the stories hidden inside
the pages of our past.
Welcome to the Mortified Podcast. I'm Anne. I'm one of the producers here at Mortified. And today's episode takes us inside a novel of a teenager whose childhood obsessions included doing anything French, mastering nail art, and throwing on a leotard for some serious jazz dancing. When it comes to writing, there's an old adage that goes, write what you know. And if you're a preteen trying to pen the great American novel, finding a subject you're experienced in can be a big challenge. So instead of writing what you know, you just end up writing about something you wish you knew. That was definitely the case with today's reader, whose love of writing and curiosity found itself on a collision course in sixth grade. As a warning, this episode contains descriptions of sexual situations, all of which are totally inaccurate. So please do not try any of this at home, no matter how flexible you think you are. Here's Joan, recorded at a Mortified in Baltimore at Gallery 788.
Hi, my name is Joan Franzino. I'm from Fairfield County, Connecticut. So I'm going to read you something I wrote that is not an entry in a diary. It is a piece of fiction. It's like a book. I wrote a book in 1978-79 with my best friend. It's called The Neverending Summer. I read a book by an author named Judy Blume. She's like the patron saint of Mortified. She wrote all these teen angst books in the 70s and 80s, and I read Forever, and on page 148, 149, the girl loses her virginity to a penis named Ralph. I memorized that in the summer before seventh grade. Anyway, we thought we'd give Judy a run for her money by writing our own book at age 11 or 12. I hadn't even got my period yet, and I hadn't even kissed a boy. And, oh, by the way, it's about a girl named Rachel who's in ninth grade, because that's like the oldest, most perfect age you could be in my sixth grade mind. She drives a Corvette in ninth grade. I'm not sure how I... All right, so here we go. Tom lent his car to Mike. He and I drove home in my car. As we drove into the driveway, I noticed that neither of my parents' cars were there. We walked into the kitchen. I saw a note on the table, and it said, "Dear Rachel, hope you had fun today. Dad and I went up to the summer house for the weekend. Love, Mom." I turned to Tom, and we both smiled and ran up the stairs to my room. Tom said, "I'll be back in a minute." "Okay," I said back in my sexiest voice. He left and went into the kitchen. I pulled off my bikini and put on a black silk see-through negligee. I opened the covers and jumped into my waterbed. Tom came back in his swimsuit. He took it off and replaced it with a towel. He jumped in bed with me, and we pulled the covers over our heads. He grabbed me and pulled me close. He pulled the negligee up to my thighs and I took it from there. I immediately pulled off his towel and he pulled off my negligee. He opened his mouth wide and so did I. We Frenched. And then it happened. I got excited and so did he. I spread my legs as wide as they could go. And Tom got on top of me and asked me if I had my period today. No, I said. A sigh of relief came over him. Then he spread my legs farther and jumped on me and lay on top of me. He cupped his hands on my breasts. And we Frenched. Then I felt him trying to have intercourse with me. 12 years old. I immediately grabbed his hips and tried to push him deeper into me. Open your legs more, he said. I can't. Try. We struggled, but it felt good. This is the accurate part. About 2 minutes later, he came through. A sigh of relief came about his face. We pulled each other closer and closer. I love you, I said to him. I love you too, he said back. I was glad he said that. He'd never said it to me before. As the night went on, we both seemed to be more relaxed. I could feel him moving deeper and deeper into me. He groaned as he worked his way into me. Night, I seemed to want to be closer to him. He felt the same way. He cupped his hands once more and placed them on my breasts. I felt one hand slither down to my vagina. I felt an urge to do the same, so I grabbed his penis and held it tightly. It was very hard. I heard him ask me, do you want to try it again? All right. So I spread my legs as wide as they could go, much wider than before. Then I fell asleep. That's chapter, and then here's chapter 6. It's called A Big Surprise, this chapter. I got home in the morning. I noticed that there was a note on the calendar saying that I had a gynecological appointment. Because had I ever done this before? No. It was a kitchen table discussion once at breakfast time with my mom. This is what I came up with. The doctor came in. Hello, Rachel, she said. Hi, Dr. Raymond, I said back. She was writing on some papers from my file, and then she said, okay, Rachel, climb up on the table and put your legs in the big lead leg holders. So I slid my legs in the big lead leg holders, and she strapped them in. I laid down and she put towels over my legs. And now, Rachel, she said, just relax. It may hurt and you may feel like you want to pull your legs out of the lead leg holders, but you can't. So try and relax. I tried to relax, but somehow it just didn't seem to work. First, she spread the cheeks and stuck this little microscope-like thing into my vagina. Then she pulled down the light so it was facing where she was working. She looked through the microscope for a few minutes. Then she took it out and just started looking at my vagina. Touching it and cleaning it and stuff like that. She came back with this knife-like instrument. She told me that it was to scrape off the inside of my vagina. It hurt. After she was done with that, she moved the metal lead leg holders out more so that my legs were spread apart as wide as they could go. And that's that chapter. One more. Chapter 5, Cindy's Party. As we came down, there was silence in the room. All the girls stared at Tom, all the guys stared at me. Some people were making out, and some were just kissing. Somebody got up and shut off the lights. Tom grabbed me, and we went into a closet. I felt him try to pull my dress off, so I locked the door. He pulled my dress off, and then he undressed too. When we were all undressed, we lied down on the floor. Tom sat up and said, "Now, sweetie, spread your legs as wide as you can so I can take a quick peek." I'm sorry, you guys must be sick of that. I went along with it, and he bent over and spread apart the cheeks. Then with one hand holding apart the cheeks, he felt my vagina all over. And he gave me a fellatio. Which is, he licked my vagina. He stopped. "That'll be all," he said. It was my turn. He spread his legs wide. I leaned over him. My tongue reached for his penis. I got it into my mouth. I blew on it. Because it's a blowjob. What's the matter? And then I sucked it. He moved his hips from side to side, breathing heavily. I kissed his penis several times. Cindy's Party was the best boy-girl party I've ever been to. The end.
That was Joan Franzino reading aloud her childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. Recorded on stage at Mortified in Baltimore at Gallery 788. And stick around. There's more to the story as we chat with today's reader in our post-mortem, Fide. We caught up with Joan recently, and she described the fact-checking process she and her friend employed when writing their erotic novel.
We sat in my bedroom on the floor, and she wrote stuff, and she would chime in if she thought I was wrong. And there were a bunch of the information that I was writing about I had no experience in. I mean, I didn't lose my virginity for years after I wrote this. Like, there's a part where I wrote, 2 minutes later, he came through. And she said, "I think we should just write, he came." And I said, "No, it's a verb. You have to say where you're coming to. So we have to say he came through." And she went, "Okay, fine."
Still, why did their story involve so much gymnastics?
This is going to sound so bizarre. I thought that anything worth doing involved doing a split. And I thought things were just so tight down there. Like, how could a penis get into a vagina without being able to do a split?
And as for their decision to include a very unsexy visit to the gynecologist in the middle of an erotic novel?
My best friend and I always hated to get our physicals before the start of the school year because we didn't like the way the pediatrician would have to check our private parts out. And so we had a name for it and everything. The name of that action we called Weep. We don't don't know. I don't know why. Did you get weeped? Yeah. Ew. So, we were obsessed with that. Like, oh, why is that guy going down there? You know, our pediatricians were males, both of ours. So we thought going to a gynecologist would be way more complex. Like, why would you ever volunteer getting weeped? In fact, I remember asking my mom, I said, Mom, what's it like when you go to the gynecologist? And she told me, and I was like, okay, no, I got this. And then we sat down, and that was my interpretation of it.
When they finished the book, Joan decided not to share it with anyone. But then...
my mom found it. She found it because I hid it between my mattresses and she was making my bed. And so she found it, read it, the whole thing, and in tears, holding back laughter, sat me on the floor in my room and said, this is not how it is. And I said, I know, Mom. Okay, fine. Just put it back.
Although Judy Blume books ended up introducing the teenager to things like making out, Joan's initial reason for getting into Blume's work was way more innocent.
For the first 10 years of my life, I grew up as innocently as can be. We lived near a big, you know, playground. We walked to school. The dump was walking distance. And then we moved to Westport. And there's money everywhere. I just remember being judged for things I was wearing, and because I really just didn't care. And when I got up to speed, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to read all these books by Judy Blume and I'm going to do what they do.
Now, before our time with Joan was over, we were dying to find out how she thinks Judy Blume would react if she ever read her teenage erotica.
Judy Blume's reaction, probably wide, wide, wide eyes, a giggle, and very dot, 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 nice.
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Or visit the new and improved GetMortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. The Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Of course, if your organization is interested in supporting our podcast too, please email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Gina Delvac, Pierce Purcelli, Neil Ketcher, Dave Nadelberg, and me, Ann Jensen Smith. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, and Snake Snake Snakes. Additional thanks to Melanie Merritt, Jared Bogley, Kate Frolick, Marina Schifrin, Graham Fuchs, Gallery 788, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.